Well, if you weren't here this morning, we are going to be kind of embellishing on the subject of the importance of the Word of God, where this morning we were looking at the importance of the Word of God and a focus on the Word of God in the life of a disciple. And I gave you a little bit of practical instruction on what we could say effective Bible study. I want to talk tonight about the importance and the priority and be more practical at the same time to bring in the reality that studying the Word of God is not merely an academic pursuit, but it is indeed a spiritual pursuit, and how it will impact our lives, and give you a little bit of maybe some ideas or food for thought with regards to how to approach the study of the Scriptures. And I think that this is something that if we took a poll, and we're not going to, because it would be it would not be profitable as we might think. But I think probably if you just polled yourself and asked yourself if you're where you want to be in regards to your personal study of God's holy word, you would possibly, and I don't want to paint you into a picture that you're not willing to be in, but you would possibly say you're not where you want to be. I think that might be a reasonable thing, and not something that would be you would not be the abnormal case in the matter here. So tonight, in the next few minutes, I want to just give you a further challenge with regards to the priority of the Word of God in the life of the disciple. How many of you brought one of these with you tonight? Don't raise your hand. This is all rhetorical questions. Right? You brought one of these with you. Some of you may hold up your Kindle or your iPhone or your iPad, and you have your Bible on there, which I'm okay with, but I think probably the best thing is turn on to airport mode when you're in church, so you're not responding to Facebook and getting your email and checking on the sports scores, because God might bring judgment upon your favorite teams if you do that. All right? But I have no problem with technology, and I study the Bible on a computer every week, and I use my iPad and my phone to study to some degree, but there's still something that I can't get away from, the love of having a Bible in your hand. I got a new Bible. It was a replacement Bible, and I look forward to wearing it out because I want it to impact my life. There was an old saying that a preacher said one time that a Bible well worn is usually owned by someone whose life isn't well worn. Another said, either this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. There's something really wonderful about having spent time studying the Word of God, that if I could use the analogy of filling your cup, that as a Christian, when you really take the time to get into the Word, your cup is filled. You're encouraged. You're strengthened to be able to do what God has called you to do, even if it's just that daily routine of life. There's something about it that is life-giving. And yet there's also something about it that in your sinful carnal flesh, that when you are busy and consumed and doing things in your own way, in your own power, in your own strength, there's something about the Bible that causes you to maybe want to put it off, because you know at those times you may be receiving some correction when you open it up. Right? How many of you ever felt that way before? It's like you know you need to be in the Word of God, and yet there's this like invisible force keeping you from spending time in the Word of God like you know you need to. Right? You ever been in that? If that's not been you, then I may be totally different from everybody else. So just that has been an experience in my life before. Even as a pastor, even though I'm studying the Bible and preparing sermons and things like that, there are still times when I'm not in the Word of God maybe as richly as I desire to be deep in my heart, and I'm allowing things to come between me and the Word. Like, oh, I'll do that in a little while. I'll get to that after this next event. I'll do that after I check the newspaper. I'll do that, and you can fill in the blanks, whatever it is that you allow to take the place. But there is a a need to acknowledge that there is a spiritual warfare that goes on when it comes time to get in to the Word of God. There's also sometimes a laziness that exists, and that you know that it's going to be work. I know David cried, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is thy meditation day and night." I understand there can be that love relationship and should be that love relationship with the Word of God. But practically speaking, there still is the flesh that we battle, and there still is that reality, even maybe more so for some, maybe more so for younger Christians, and maybe more so for those who have gotten used to the Bible, that they have to go into it and they know it's going to be work. We read the scripture this morning, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That doesn't mean cutting it apart and throwing parts away. It means comparing scripture with scripture and understanding that the Old Testament and the New Testament don't contradict one another. They work cohesively together. There's one story arc in the Bible, and it's all about God and his redemption of man who has fallen. If you want to, you know, say that there's dispensations in there or there's different periods throughout, the reality is it's all teaching us about one thing. It's God's revelation to man about himself. And he wants us to understand about him. He wants us to know, as for instance, that Jesus Christ didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets in the New Testament. He came to fulfill it. He came to complete it in its perfection. What we could not obtain under the law, Jesus obtained, because he lived perfectly and in perfect fulfillment of every law of God, because he was sinless and undefiled. We, on the other hand, find ourselves coming short. In fact, it is the law that teaches us that we are sinners. We would not have known sin but by the law. It is the law of God that reveals to us, yes, I messed up on that. Oh, and that one, and that one. And we need Jesus because he didn't mess up on it. Now, as Christians, understanding the priority of the Word, as we learned this morning, and the importance of that focus and the reason why we should, because it is powerful and profitable and pure. It is a book that is to be really devoured by believers. I'm just going to assume tonight, in what I want to teach, that you have that desire. You want to know God more. You want to know more about his Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know more about his plan for your life. And God does have a plan for your life. The theme for our church, if you notice on our website or on our letterhead or on the mast of the website, you will find these words. Used to say, providing Bible direction for life. Now it's simply shortened and says, Bible direction for life. Because we are a church, and I am a pastor that doesn't just believe that the Word of God is for kind of a theoretical relationship as far as God's Word reveals God in His bigness and God's salvation, and that will affect our eternity. I believe that is absolutely true, but I also believe that God's Word is to not only fill our minds, but it's to transform our lives, and that we become obedient to the Scriptures. It's going to change how we function and how we operate as a people. In other words, God's Word is not merely theoretical, it's not just teaching about stuff, it's actually very practical, impacting the way we live our lives. Right? You can hear Bible truth and not understand that Bible truth has a practical application. Now, I think that it's important to not just look for the practical, you know, how is this going to fix my life tomorrow, but it is there. See, I believe that God's Word, when we study it, it's going to give us direction for our life, if we'll submit to it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It's going to give you guidance, direction, instruction for life. I think probably most of you want, or at least as Christians, you should want to know, what does the Bible say about this area in my life? Dr. Bob Hughes was a missionary in the Philippines, in Manila, in Cebu City. And his radio ministry went all over the islands, and the church grew to thousands and thousands of people. And he had a radio program called What the Bible Says. It was on the front of the church building. And people would land from out of the country, and they would say, I want to go to Bible Baptist Church in Cebu City. And they said, I don't know that. You know the What the Bible Says? Oh, yes, I know that place. Because they heard it on the radio. They knew where it was. You know what we should desire in our life? To do, to live by what the Bible says. So to do that, we're going to have to open it regularly. We're going to have to acknowledge that it is not only, as we've learned in the last couple of months, it's not only a fire, and it's not only a hammer, it's not only bread for food and meat and water to drink. It is not only our sustenance, but it is our compass. It is to give us guidance. So let me give you some practical things, and these are going to be less preaching and more just instruction tonight, about ways to study the Bible. There was a little book that I read, and I highly recommend it. It's out of print, but if you can find it, it's worth getting. It's just a small little volume, reprinted a few years back. And it was How to Master the English Bible by Dr. James M. Gray. He was the founder of one of the founders of Moody Bible Institute and early working with BIOLA, which was Bible Institute of Los Angeles at the time. And he had a real passion for the Word of God. And this little book was really transformative in my life. It was a challenge to me, because instead of just challenging me to read the Bible from cover to cover, which is always a wonderful thing to do, I think every Christian should be in a process of reading through the Scriptures. How fast or how slow you do it is really up to you. But to get the whole story arc of the Scriptures is important to do that. But his advice was to seek to master the Bible one book at a time. Says you got a whole life to be a Christian, get into the Word of God, and get to know every book of the Bible over the long haul. You need to know the grand story arc. We could say there's one way to study the Scriptures, and that's in a macro view, an overview of the whole Bible. You need to know what Genesis is about. Okay, you need to know that Genesis is about the creation. That Genesis is about the fall of man. That Genesis is about the redemption of man. That Genesis is about, Joseph come, a picture of Jesus that would provide for his people. You need to know about the Exodus, when Moses led the people out of Egypt, out of bondage, and there's a picture there of salvation, that we are all led out of bondage, right? You need to know the Word of God and how it fits in the grand scheme of things. You need to know where the books of the Bible fit in, not just memorizing them, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc. Etc. is not one of the books, okay? That was for the kids, right? You need to know that part in the grand macro sense, but you need to know the importance of kind of the in-between stages. You need to know the medium study of the Word of God, if you will, of individual books of the Bible and what they mean. One of the reasons why I have been convinced of the priority, not the exclusiveness, but the priority of systematic exposition through books of the Bible, preaching from, the beginning of Philemon to the end of Philemon, like we just did, as an example. Preaching from the beginning of Ephesians to the end of it, because you deal with so many different things, and by the time you get done, every one of you who have sat under the preaching and teaching of the Word in those times, if you were listening at all, you know those books of the Bible more than you did beforehand. Right? I know them more, you know them more, we've grown in our depth and knowledge. In fact, you probably find yourself referencing those books of the Bible that you have gone through in the public preaching and teaching, and that you've read through, as I often exhort you to read through those books multiple times as we're going through, maybe even on a weekly basis, and just really get a grasp so that even when we're done, even if it's a long series, you really know that book. You own that book. To use the language of Dr. James M. Gray, you have mastered that book of the Bible. And when you master the book of the Bible, you should also be desiring that the master is mastering you. Right? That the God of the book is mastering your life. Then we could say there's a importance to come down on the micro study level of studying individual verses. There are times when it's good to study individual verses. But here's also a danger, okay? If you take a verse out of its context, context means what's before it and what's after it. If you take a verse out of that and solely look at it on the basis of what these words mean to you, you will misinterpret Scripture on a regular basis. Okay? Because you don't understand, if I could use the analogy, you don't understand the story set in a book or a novel or a movie if you take out and you only pull out one 30-second scene or one paragraph of text. You don't get the whole book by doing that. You don't have understanding of its context. And I think when you study the Scriptures, you need to understand the overall and the context of the book before you start pulling verses out of their context, because you can make some really strange doctrines. Which, by the way, churches and cults and groups that use the Bible, many times they get very strange theologies by pulling out one verse out of the Bible, out of its context. It's a dangerous thing. Other Bible study methods, and these are just, I'm kind of just giving them randomly here without a lot of explanation, but by topics. One of the things that I have found helpful, if you don't use a Bible study computer program, I always loved a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I could begin the book of Genesis and I pick up on a topic, let's say it was forgiveness. And I can trace that through by looking at all the references all the way through to Revelation. And even though it didn't give me all the verses by any means, it gave me a pretty good grasp of a particular topic in the Bible. It's good to study in that way. It gives us help in particular areas. Again, keeping it in the context of the overall theme. How many of you have ever heard of a hobby horse? Right? A hobby horse is something or some subject, some topic that people ride to death. Right? I would say, as an example, of something that I don't think could ever become a hobby horse for a Christian, you can never preach too much about Jesus. Right? You can't get on a hobby horse about Jesus and because if you really preach about Jesus, you'll preach about numerous things in the Scripture. Because Jesus, in His teaching, deals with numerous subjects in the Scriptures. But when we get pet topics, they can become hobby horses if we're not careful to keep them within the context or the framework of the whole counsel of God. Another reason for systematic biblical exposition of Scripture. Okay? Another type of study is biographical. You can study people. I think one of the very profitable ways to study the Bible, just like in life, studying different subjects, I think one of the greatest ways, for instance, to learn about leaders is to read biographies of great leaders. Even more so probably than the 10 Steps to Great Leadership kind of books, because you see how it was fleshed out in real life context, in the midst of war, or in the midst of peace, or in this struggle, and you read and you learn about people. Well, the Bible has a lot of those. I know preachers, some really good ones, that preached for years on the exciting stories. I think of Brother Davison that preached for years on the exciting stories of the kings and prophets. I mean, he went on the kings and prophets for years and years and years. There's so many of them. Another pastor that loves preaching on King David. You look at the life of David, you've got a lot of source material in the Old Testament and the New Testament to preach on the life of David and to learn a lot about success and failure in living and redemption and a fresh start, all kinds of wonderful truths to learn from a biographical study. Okay? You can look at things chronologically. You might pick up at some point a chronological Bible, if you so choose. I bought one. I never read it. It just didn't really gravitate. I didn't really gravitate to it. But you can open up, and they've put it in the best of their ability, the chronological order of the books of the Bible, and portions of different passages put in there. And they've done a lot of work. And for some reason, I can't remember the name of the guy who did one. But if you ask me later, I'll look at home in my study, and I'll tell you. But a chronological Bible can be a good way to study the scriptures, kind of getting a different view. There are principle or precept Bible studies. Again, these can be very, very helpful. They're similar to topical studies, and they're looking at particular precepts and principles. But here, again, I would just caution to keep it in its context of the whole. We, by nature, are people that like to find something we like, and then we like to, you know, drill down right there and stay there. And we become the, you know, the one-hit wonder of Christianity. We only know one subject, right? We only have one song we play. It's like every conversation you have doesn't have to be about the same subject. In the Bible, there are other subjects. I'll give you one area. This is not precept, really. This is subject. Eschatology. Wonderful subject. A good subject. An important understanding of really how you operate in this life. But if the only thing you ever study is the end times, and you end up building a bomb shelter in your basement with lots of rice and Wheaties, there's something wrong with your perspective on Christianity. That was funnier, and most of you didn't laugh, all right? It's true. People get into something, and then they don't see the whole. How about being a very conservative-minded Christian and having high moral standards, so much so that you forget, oh, God says if you don't love people, all this is just clanging cymbals and nothing. It's nothing if you don't love people. But I live right. It's nothing to God. So you got to keep things in perspective. You got to keep things in balance. You can do doctrinal studies, systematic theology studies. You can do biblical theology studies by the Johannine writings or the writings of Paul. Or you can look at the writings of Moses and the Pentateuch. And you can look at them by biblical authors. And you can study that way. And it's profitable. Okay, so there's many different ways to study the Bible. My main desire tonight is not necessarily to emphasize one type over the other, although I will say you need to have the big picture view, and then you need to drill down on particular books of the Bible. I think that's your most profitable way, at least to get a grasp and a good understanding of, or a mastery of the Word of God. But beyond that, tonight, my desire is really this, is just to hopefully encourage you and rekindle in you a desire to study the Bible. If you decide tonight you're going to leave this place and you're going to start a topical Bible study, I say amen. If tonight you say, I'm going to start reading through the Bible in a year, and I want to finish by December 31st, so if you have a computer program, you can put it in there starting today, you don't even have to go back. How many of you ever started a Bible program and you're like, I'm starting 10 days late, but I'm going to go back to day number one, and I'm going to start. You can put it in the computer program, you tell them when you want to get done, and you get done then. My desire is this, is that just to inspire you, to encourage you, to get into the Word of God. And then, secondly, not only to get into the Word of God on a academic or a studious level, or a desire to know God more personally, but on a spiritual level. In other words, to acknowledge that when you go to the Word of God, you're not supposed to just open to it and open immediately with frustration, like, I don't understand this stuff. You're starting wrong if that's how you're starting. You need to start with prayer, asking God to help you see and understand the Scripture. And then believe God, the same God who I believe can heal people of sicknesses, the same God who healed blind men in the New Testament, the same God who cleansed lepers, is the same God who hears and answers prayers today, and in your Bible study wants to help give you understanding. I used the word this morning, illumination. He wants to, by His Spirit, shine the light on the passage of Scripture so that you understand what it means. That's illumination. David, the great king, in Psalm 119 and verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Think about this. This is King David. This was the man who was called the man after God's own heart. His life is not perfect. His life has mars and black spots, but it also has much great light. And here is one who pens much of the Psalms, and he is crying out to the Lord, "Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Show me your glory, God. Show me something from this book. Let it not just be paper and ink. Let it be the living, breathing word to minister to my soul." That should be our desire. That should be our hunger. That should be what we are seeking after. I know, I look out here, and this is not a criticism, I know from talking to many of you, some of you love reading, some of you love study, doesn't matter what the subject is, and some of you, I don't know how to say it, some of you not so much. And one of the things that may keep you from this book is if you look at it like you have to go back to school, rather than looking at it as, this is bread for eating. This is meat to be savored. This is fresh water, cold water, Proverbs says, as to a thirsty soul in a dry country, in a far country rather. So is good news from a far country. This book is life-giving. Right, this book tells me, like, even I'll use it as an example that we'll all gravitate to or understand. We have been learning in the book of Ecclesiastes, and one of the things that Ecclesiastes talks about is both the vanity of riches and yet the knowledge of how to get them. In so many words. But that the getting of them was not for the pursuit of the riches, the getting of them is to the glory of God. How many of you desire to be successful in your place of employment, in your business that you have started? You want that? Can I just tell you this? And I'm not trying to be cheesy or anything else. You want to find out secrets to business success? Open up the Bible. Open up the Bible. It says many things. It says, "In all labor there is profit." It also says, "Labor not to be rich." Don't make your focus the riches. You make your focus making a good product or giving a good service or doing something that is right and noble. You learn that from the Word of God. And then God can prosper you. We learned last night in the book of Ecclesiastes, if I could remember the verse right off the top of my head, it talked about the business. Samuel, do you remember it? Oh, there it is. "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." Say, what does that mean? Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom. It's a book where you have to ponder things, and you have to soak on them a little bit. You have to talk them out. This is speaking about a dream only coming to pass, essentially, by a multitude of business. The term meaning work, labor. If a dream's going to come to pass, you've got to work the dream. If the business is going to get off the ground, you have to work the business. Right? And then the opposite of that is this. "And a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." Somebody who just talks about a dream and they talk themselves silly about a dream, they don't have any success. Foolish talk it causes penury, the Bible says, which means poverty. If you just talk, and you never do, you never work, you're not going to get it done. Somebody says, "I would like to write a book one day." What most people are saying, they want to be a famous author with their name on the spine of a book. They don't want the work that comes involved with getting the book to that place. Right? It's hard work. That's just one illustration. But the same is true if you own a plumbing shop. You own the HVAC company. If you're a home educator, or if you work at the shipyard, or if you're in the Navy or the military, or you're a policeman, it doesn't matter. The Word of God has guidance to show you how to do things in a profitable and successful way. This is just one thing that came to mind. Does it have real practical stuff about that? Yeah. How many of you right now, you're displeased with your marriage? Now, don't raise your hand. Don't say amen. Don't go like this. That's right, preacher. Don't do that. It's bad news. Guess what? There may be principles in here, maybe even that you know, and the problem isn't the knowing of them, it's the application of them, that are going to help bring resolve. You have a problem with a child who just won't listen, who never obeys? Can I ask you kindly? Do you lovingly chasten them? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I love them too much. No, the Bible says you hate your child. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth them chasteneth the betimes. Early and often. It means before you get raging and out of control and angry, which you should never discipline your child when you're like that. It's when it's early, when you're dealing with little issues, you discipline them. So where do you learn that? The Bible. It's got good stuff in here. That's what I want you to see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Understand He's got good advice in the Scriptures. And it's, I'm not just, I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not just minimizing it to this advice book. I'm saying it's the God who brings salvation, which is the supreme and most important thing. It is the God who has given us the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that He rose, and that He was buried, that He rose again, and He gives us life and victory and life forevermore. I understand that. I'm not minimizing that. I'm saying that sometimes if you look at this book as academic, it keeps us from it because it's not your favorite thing to do to study. We need to realize if you get into the Bible, you're going to find a lot of real practical things that help you in life. It's going to give you wisdom. Proverbs says we're to seek after wisdom as searching for silver and gold, and it will bless you. It will profit you. In Psalm 118, where we read David, Psalm 119, verse 18, rather. By the way, the longest chapter in all the Bible, I don't remember right offhand, I've counted it before. I think it was all but two or three or four verses that specifically reference the Word of God, the law, the statutes, the tributes, all different kinds of words that are used, but it's all talking about the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 18. David said, "Open thou mine eyes." Can you pray that? It's not a hard prayer, is it? Open my eyes, Lord. Help me see. That I may behold or see wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 7 of this same passage says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word have I hid, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Need direction? Many of you have said, "I just don't know what the will of the Lord is for my life." First question I want to ask is, are you spending time asking God to show you? This is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is what gives us direction in our life. David, in the same passage, says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God." to know what God wants you to do, what He doesn't want you to do, have victory over sin? Is that not worth study of the Word of God? Is that not worth seeking to know what God's Word has to say? Same passage, Psalm 119, verse 125 says, I am thy servant, give me understanding. Help me to understand the Word of God, that I may know thy testimonies. There's so many truths in this passage of Scripture alone, but I'll read you one from the book of Proverbs about the wondrous things that you find in the law of God. Proverbs 20 and verse number 12 says this. Proverbs 20. This is not the verse I want. So we'll move on. I'll read this one. I love this verse. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Why do I want a good name? Because the Bible tells me I should want one. God's desire for His children is that we would go to the Word of God. Yes, study it seriously. Study it deeply. But study it intimately. Study it with the words on your mouth. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Because He wants to show you wondrous things. And more than that, if you obey His word, He wants to give you wondrous things that He's revealed in His law. Tonight, do I have a desire for our church to be a people that really knows the Word? Not just knows intellectually, but knows and practices in our life? That we make decisions based on a worldview that's biblical? Right? How many of you make decisions about your life and the first place you go is, God, what do you say about this subject? That's what having a biblical worldview is. It's seeing the world through this lens. You say, how can you see through that? This book gives me all kinds of clarity. And that's what God wants for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd help tonight, that we might be a people who seek for the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we study the Scripture, that we might be humble as David did, who said, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then we also might have the same heart of David to hide those words in his heart, that he might not sin against God, and that he would also apply them to the path that he takes, and they would obey every law of God, that he would desire to follow in obedience to all that Christ has called us to. Not for bringing about salvation, but because we have so great a salvation, and because, Lord, You desire us to walk in Your way. Help us to love the Word of God in this new year and every year to follow. Grow us by Your grace. Help the men and the women who love to study. Help them to grow in grace. Help the men and the women who find it difficult to study, who find every excuse or reason why not to open up the Bible. And I pray that both of them would desire to say to the Lord, open thou mine eyes, help me see, help me to obey, help my life to be transformed. Help us, Lord, to be a people and a church that really desires to give Bible direction for life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.